93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamalo's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamalo, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
It's back to winning ways for Pompey.
Harness, shot, into the back of the net. It's four for Pompey.
Marcus Harness rounded off a comfortable victory for the Blues on Tuesday night against a poor Southend United side. And things are looking so much more positive for Pompey in recent weeks, with Kenny Jackett's side slowly adopting a more positive outlook on games. Tonight we look ahead to Monday's FA Cup first round tie at Harrogate Town, and we ask you back home to get involved with the conversation too. Following Tuesday night's appearance off the bench, do you see a future at right back for Brandon Houndstrup, even if it's only for just a few weeks? Could John Marquis and Ellis Harrison prove to be a deadly partnership up top for Pompey this season? And after recent performances, are you growing more confident that this could be the year that the Blues go up? Get in touch all the usual ways. Text Express and your message to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at expressfm. As always, we look forward to hearing from you back home. A very good evening to you all then, and welcome to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Hello and welcome once again to another episode of the Football Hour on Express FM, driven to you by Stagecoach across the South, who offer adult day rider tickets at a discounted price of £4.10 if you buy via the Stagecoach bus app, which you can find on either the Apple app or Google Play Store. It's time now to get straight into the thick of it then, and we begin tonight's show by going back to Tuesday night, 7:45, as the Blues entertained a Southend United side who had not only conceded a whopping 44 goals in their opening 16 league matches leading up to kickoff, but would also be rock bottom of the division had it not been for Bolton's minus 12 points deduction at the start of the campaign. Commentary of this one comes from Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He scored!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Live.
We are just about ready to get underway. Portsmouth in their usual home strip. Pompey go back to close, wanting to chip it in the area. Looking for one of Curtis. Loose ball in the box. It'll fall to Curtis. Can he get the shot away? Lays it off for Brown. Marquis takes a touch. Didn't shoot what he could have done. And Southend still can't clear. Naylor blocks. Challenge from Southend. Pompey throw on the left. Still 0-0. Southend on the attack again down the right-hand side. Cox finding Hutchinson into the penalty area. A great chance for Goodchip. And a great save for Alex Bass, who keeps the score at 0-0. And the former Weaver fan puts his head in his hand. Marquis outside the box. Great space for Close. Close. Wonderful save from the goalkeeper. Harrison keeps it alive. And then the loose ball is somehow diverted wide by Dieng. A corner, but Pompey so close. Hunstruck, corner of the box. Delivers a lovely ball. Marquis scores. There is the breakthrough for Portsmouth. Brandon Hunstruck making it from the unusual position of right back. And Marquis just stuck his foot out, got a toe on the ball and took it past Bishop. Pompey will go in at the break ahead. It's Portsmouth 1, Southend now. Outside, Harrison laying it off. Curtis, can he get the shot away? Plenty of defenders there. Harrison back in field, headed from Marquis. Harrison off the bar and in. And the flag doesn't go up. And Ellis Harrison has made up for his bad miss by putting the ball into the net off the crossbar from about a yard out. And Portsmouth have doubled their lead early in the second half. It's Pompey 2, Southend nil. Close now, lovely ball. Brown in behind the defence, pulls it back behind Marquis. Should be left for Naylor to hit. Naylor off the post, off the goalkeeper, and cleared away. Well worked from Portsmouth, and Southend fortunate. Plays it to Goodchip outside the penalty area. Goodchip might get a shot away on his right foot. Goodchip, and it's fumbled by Bass into the back of the net. A goalkeeping error. And Brandon
Goodshit has a goal against Portsmouth. It's Pompey 2, Southend 1. Now we have the chance to step up. Ellis Harrison for Portsmouth, and he scores! Just! It hits the feet of the goalkeeper, but still finds its way into the back of the net. It's not the most emphatic penalty you'll ever see, but it's a goal, and it's Portsmouth 3, Southend 1, and it should be 3 points. Here's Hunstrup. Hunstrup, a couple of step-overs, comes infield, into the area. Harness, shot, into the back of the net! Marcus Harness slides on his knees in front of the north stand. It's got through the goalkeeper rather easily, but he won't mind. It's 4 for Pompey. Harness the substitute. Portsmouth 4, Southend 1. The final action of this match here at Fratton Park. Portsmouth have beaten Southend by 4-1.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there of Pompey's 4-1 win over Southend on Tuesday night, as heard right here on Express FM and iFollow's Pompey Live. After the game, it was assistant manager Joe Gallen who took to the media duties, with Andy Moon asking for questions.
You know, it's a comfortable win when Joe Gallen's smiling face comes out of the tunnel. Oh. Joe, comfortable? What do you assess? How do you assess that win?
Well, I think in the first half it was... it was a bit of a tricky sort of fixture for us, wasn't it? Because, just looking back to the Oxford game, we played very well against Oxford, and Oxford are flying high in the league, and played very well both halves. We all know we should have come out of that with 3 points. We didn't. And so it was a little bit tense in the first half. We managed to score. I mean, just before that, Ben Close went close. And he was involved in a move with Brandon that got John Marcus our first goal. It was a good goal, actually. And that just seemed to lift the release the tension in the stadium at the time. But of course, just before half time, second half, we went out and played very well.
And a few jitters in the second half when they did pull one back.
Of course, because we're all thinking, we're all thinking the same thing, and we really are. I'm glad to say that we picked up a penalty. I think it was a foul on Sean Raggett, was it? Am I right? It did look, from where I'm sitting, but I'm glad we got a penalty, if I'm honest, and glad we scored it at 3-1. I was thinking, well, hopefully we should see this one out. We got a fourth with Marcus Arnes, but I think overall, I think we deserved to win. I thought we played pretty well, especially in the second half, going towards our home fans. Our fans were great again, supporting us, and a lot of confidence is coming back. I mean, from Saturday as well, Oxford leading on to this one. I think a lot of confidence coming back, not only with our players, but with the supporters' belief in the team and the players.
Ellis scored the penalty, but John Marcus grabbed the ball first, and it seemed like Ronan wanted it as well. What happened there?
That's actually a good thing that they all wanted it, and this particular time game we didn't quite designate someone to take it, whoever fancied it at the time. Having said that, I think by the next game we will designate someone. But of course, there's always a case of you designate someone, they're not having a great game, and then they take a penalty or they pass it over. So we had a numerous amount of people going for it, and that's without Brett and Gareth being on the pitch, who they'll be going for the ball as well. But like I said, we didn't designate for this game, but we will designate a penalty taker for the next one.
How is Craig McGilvery, and what ruled him out today?
Yes, it's a very close call, Craig, but yesterday in training on kicking a ball out, he felt his thigh, and Craig being Craig, he said he's never been injured before in his career, which when I hear things like that, I find that quite funny, but he hasn't, and he was sort of pushing to play, really. We had a scan, it was a little bit inconclusive, but there was something in there. And it was just too dangerous for us to risk him playing tonight, because if there is a very small tear in his thigh, and it's right hand side where he's kicking the ball out, that could lead to a major problem for him, for us, for our team. He's a big player for us. So between Kenny and Bobby the physio and Craig, we decided to leave him out tonight. I think he's going to be close in terms of the next game on the Monday night against Harrogate, but he's just got to be careful.
Ross McCrory, that looked like a hamstring pull, yeah, was it?
Yes, there'll be a scan on that, and he'll be out for a number of weeks, two to 4 weeks. I predict already.
And just one of those things, no right back on the bench today.
Of course, and there have been right backs on the bench the whole night. That's how it's been going a little bit. But having said that, it was just talking, players of, we've had other teams, and you ended up putting a left back to right back, and everyone's sort of thinking, well, that's not going to work. And somehow, it does seem to work. Different point of attack. Brandon's very offensive, and doesn't quite go outside the wide play, comes inside, and you see what you saw from the goal, how it can sort of pan out. I've been at other places when that has happened, and it actually can work. I think it can work for us, that. And through all of it, him being not on his natural left side, I think it can work.
Just lastly, opted for John Marquis to play a little bit deeper tonight with him behind Ellis. What was the thinking there?
I think just trying to get them both on the pitch, and Saturday's game against Oxford, they played a diamond, and they played four central midfield players in there, and it's very tough sometimes just to think that you could play two out. Really, John's still a forward, even if he plays in the number 10, he still thinks like a forward, and it can be tough. You get outnumbered in midfield, you don't get the ball, it's tough to sort of get a foothold in the game, it's tough to try and win that game. So I think tonight we wanted a positive stadium from the start, and we thought we would be able to put them two together, and both have scored. So I mean, it's a good move. Hopefully it can work in the future. I think it can.
The thoughts there of assistant gaffer Joe Gallen following the midweek victory over Sol Campbell's Southend United. Okay, let's bring in my two guests for this evening's show now then. First of all, welcome back to Sam Macy. Sam, great to see you again.
Thanks for having me back again, Jake. It's always good to come on the show.
Pleasure as always, Sam. And also good evening to Ryan Honey for joining us again on the show.
Thanks, Jake, for having me again.
OK, let's talk about Tuesday's game then, gents, and just as a whole, a much improved performance, Ryan, from the Blues.
No, it was. It was impressive, really. I know Southend aren't the greatest of teams, but I thought all the lads put in a good shift and thoroughly deserved the win, yeah. Was impressed.
And it wasn't the most convincing of first half, Sam, was it? But Pompey got the job done, come the final and, the final minutes of the game. And that's something we haven't really seen in recent weeks.
No, that's it. I think, to be honest, it was actually reasonably comfortable in the end. That's something which hasn't been something we've been too used to seeing as fans this season. I think that goal just before half time really put us in the ascendancy. And that sort of killed the game off in a way. And then we came out really quick in the second half, and we never looked like we were going to lose the game after that, and played really, really well.
At a 2-0, Ryan, when Southend got their goal back, did you kind of have thoughts that this was going to be another nervy ending? Perhaps we were going to throw away more points again?
Well, I think everyone did. I wouldn't be lying if I said to myself, this could be happening again. But thankfully it didn't. And, I think Jackett deserves credit because he brought on Marcus Harness. He reacted well. He reacted positively. And, that was the impact that we needed to go on and see it out and win the game.
What do you think was the difference on Tuesday night, Sam, between Pompey and winning a game? Was it the kind of more attacking approach with the 4-4-2 formation? Or do you think it's something different than that?
I just think we look quality, to be honest with you. They looked very, very poor all over the pitch. I think 1-11, there's not a player who got near anyone in our starting 11 and players who came off the bench. I think we just looked excellent 1-11 on Tuesday night. And for me, if we carry on that sort of level of performance, we're going to shoot up the table. Everyone says it's only Southend. Admittedly, that's a team which has lost 13 out of 16 games this season. However, that was a potential banana skin with a new manager coming in. And getting over that hurdle puts us in good stead for the following games coming up in the next few weeks.
14 out of 17 losses for Southend now, Ryan. 48 goals conceded, and we're not even halfway through the season. You can't help but feel that could potentially be over 100 goals conceded by, end of May. That could be really disastrous for them.
It really could. I mean, 48 goals, and it's crazy, really. They're in trouble.
Yeah, it's difficult to kind of, can you take a lot from Tuesday's game, Ryan? Is it only Southend, or do you believe it's a case of, well, you can only play what's in front of you?
Well, I agree with that. You can only play what's in front of you. But, Southend, we're going to come to Fratton Park and try and hold out for a draw. And I think that was obvious. But, like you say, you can only play what's in front of you. And we did that, and we got the job done.
Pompey, I saw on Tuesday night, Sam, were playing a lot more of a ball on the deck
playing nice 1-2 intricate passes. And I believe it was our fourth and final goal, which was 25 passes in the build-up, which is not quite the 52 I think it was against Bournemouth a few years back, but it's certainly improvements from what we've seen at the start of the season.
Absolutely. Me and you have had conversations all year long about John Marquis and what sort of service he needs up front. I think that was evident. Him with Ellis Harrison. Ellis Harrison is that more mobile striker who's going to win headers. I think he looked quality in the air against some big lumps at Southend have got a centre back. And John Marquis just got into that hole and got the ball into feet. And I think not everything he tried came off. I think there was a few occasions, especially in the first half, where he gave the ball away or maybe kicked it out into the south or north stand. But either way, I think that's the sort of game which John Marquis has got to command, and I think he did that. I thought he was excellent on Tuesday night, even if he was playing a little bit deeper, but that is the service which he needs. And you saw from his goal, another predatory instinct goal, I thought it was a brilliant finish, to be honest with you. And then he just looked, if he carries on playing like that this season, we're going to see numbers like he got for Doncaster last year. And I think the key to that success is playing balls along the deck and not hoofing it upfield, because we've not got Ollie Hawkins up front. We've got to be a bit more intricate this year and play the ball to feet, and then we are going to get a lot more success as we saw on Tuesday.
What did you make, Ryan, of John Marquis, his game on Tuesday? Undoubtedly another good performance from him and a goal to prove that as well. But he did seem to play a little bit deeper than perhaps we'd imagined, him starting up front with Ellis Harrison. Obviously it worked, so me asking you did it work is a bit of a silly question, but perhaps a number 10 role for John Marquis, can you see that as kind of, as bluntly, put it like that, can you see him playing in that number 10 role in the future? Or would you prefer him to go a little bit more further up front with assisting Ellis Harrison?
Well, I think it's a tricky one. We did play Southend at the end of the day. But, it was nice to see him on the ball. And you hardly see that when he's up front on his own. But seeing him get on the ball, he sprayed the ball quickly, he moved the ball quickly, and he got shots away. And that's exactly what you want to see from Marquis, because he is a goal scorer.
Yeah.
And if he is on the edge of the area, and he's getting shots away, you'd rather that than having 1-2 chances a game inside the area, for sure.
Could Tuesday's win, Sam, be really the start of the kind of a momentum Pompey are trying to build? We've discussed it recently, wins against Doncaster and Bolton and Lincoln as well, that the possibility of starting a winning run and trying to propel up the league. But Tuesday's win, forget about the opposition for just a moment, 4-1, a lot better of a performance playing the ball along the floor and counter-attacking, just looking all round really good. Do you think that could be the start of hopefully what's to come?
Definitely. I think we've been saying it for weeks, this could be the start of a run. But if you look at it, we haven't actually been on too bad of a run.
No.
I think that gets overlooked by the fact that we've been conceding a lot of late goals in the last minute. However, we've lost one of our last eight games at the end of the day. We are on a good run of form. And teams who come to Fran Park haven't been able to get a win this season. We're still unbeaten. And I think we are on a sort of, it might not be the most pretty and attractive football to watch, but we are on a sort of a run. However, hopefully now, looking at Tuesday's performance, looking at scoring four goals, we could go on a run and potentially shoot up the table. We're not that far away from the playoffs. I don't think the standard of team in League One this year is particularly high. And anyone who comes to Fran Park, I'd fancy us to beat. And then it's just transferring that to away days. And if we can do that, then if we can build a run, then we're going to take some stopping with the squad which we've got. Admittedly, the manager's come under a bit of pressure, but I think the players look to be behind him because they always give 100%. You can tell that from John Marquis, the way he works up front, right the way back to a Alex Basson-McGivory in goal. And I think if we can build a run, this season's not over and it's not a write-off, but we just have to maintain the high level of performance.
Only one loss in the last eight league games, Ryan, as Sam's just kind of alluded to there. Late goals conceded, albeit against Oxford, Bristol Rovers and Wimbledon as well. But looking at the league table, Pompey are now up to 13th with a game in hand on most teams above them, only 5 points off a player. So, certainly not all is lost at all.
Absolutely not. No way. By a long stretch, this league is all about form. And right now, one loss in eight, as Sam said, we're on a good run of form. And I think two losses at home in 2019 in the league, that's a good starting point.
Yeah.
And if we can take that into the away games, there's no reason why we can't get into the playoffs and the automatic places, for sure.
Okay, we're going to head off for a very short break here now on Express FM, after which we'll be going through some of the thoughts of you listening back home. How impressed were you by Tuesday night's performance, where Pompey managed to claim a 4-1 victory over Southend United? Do you see a future, be it a long or a short one, for Brandon Houndstrup at right back in the absence of Ross McCrory? And could a partnership between John Marquis and Ellis Harrison turn out to be the difference between the Blues and promotion to the Championship this season? 81400 is the number to send your text, which you'll need to start with the word Express, followed by your name and message. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at expressfm. So be sure to get involved with tonight's discussion and let us know your score predictions ahead of Harrogate Town versus Pompey on Monday. Join myself, Sam and Ryan in just a few moments right here on the only radio station from the Great Waterfront City. This is the Friday Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Friday Football Hour here on Express FM, sponsored this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Find out more information on timetables, routes, fares and much more on their website, stagecoach.co.uk. Okay, let's try and find some text tweets and emails coming into us now then. Alan Swift on the emails, good evening to you, Alan. He says, hi again. Well, that was the convincing win we were all looking for. The big test will be next week when we face an in-form compared to us, Fleetwood. I, for one, am not so sure. Time will tell, as they say. Well, Alan, we're just hearing today, or yesterday actually, rather, wasn't it, that the Fleetwood game next week will not be played. Fleetwood have a few international call-ups. They decided to postpone the game, which we believe won't be rescheduled until the new year. Going on with his email, though, he says, I truly believe we will maintain this type of irregular form until the tactics are reviewed for the better. I still think 3-5-2 is a better choice, as we won promotion with our system and Chelsea won the title not so long ago. Gives us more compact central midfield, and for us, we should play Harness in the hole, leaving two strikers up top. That's a far more attacking lineup, and we shouldn't have to tolerate the hoofball. Monday is a banana skin, of course, but we should dispose of them quite well. Is there a good reason there is no game tomorrow? Then play this game on a Monday as well. That's 2 weeks without a league game. It makes no sense to me. Nothing wrong playing Houndsdrop at right back. He's a talented player. Unlucky to be out of a side. Alan in Southsea. Let's talk about the first point in there then, the Fleetwood game next week, guys, because it was announced yesterday. Sam, that the game will be off. Joey Barton has decided to take his team out of that one. They have three international call-ups, so they are entitled to postpone that game. And what I want to ask you is, what do you make of that decision? Because wasn't it last month that Joey Barton was...
He had a pop at Sunderland,
for not being too confident about playing Fleetwood because they had three international call-ups themselves. And he created a bit of an uproar because of that. So are we entitled to say the same thing?
He's a controversial bloke, isn't he, Joe Barton? I think.
Do you think?
Yeah, a little bit, just a little bit. But no, I think, to be honest with you, we've got a couple of international call-ups anyway, whether McCrory goes now or not.
Well, you say that. Off,
yeah.
Ronan Curtis has been
admitted from the Ireland squad, yeah. You guys, only Craig then, really, isn't it?
Craig McGilvery, yeah. He's picked up an injury now, so we don't know whether he'll be fit. And Ross McCrory as well. Yeah, so that is a strange one for the Blues. Fleetwood have called it off themselves. Are they scared of playing us, Ryan? on the great run of form we're on, you know, 4-1 win against Southend.
I'm not too sure it's that. I just think Joey Barton, you know, when he comes to Fratton Park, he wants to be fully equipped.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't blame him personally for that. And
just
you
be
know.
Eating his words a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of some more of the points that Alan Swift has made on the emails, then let's talk about the. He wants to see a more attacking lineup with two strikers up top. We shouldn't have to tolerate the hoofball, Sam, but I don't think we saw any of that on Tuesday night.
No, I think that's been a feature of our game for a couple of years, but not Tuesday night. I don't think there was many balls which went too long to Ellis Harrison. There was a couple in the first half, but that was only when there wasn't really too many ideas going forward. However, I think one or two long balls forward a half isn't too bad. Everyone wants to see nice football, but I think the hoofball's wasn't in full effect, especially in the second half. I think you look at the way we played, we used the wing as well, and we utilised Ronan Curtis very, very well. I think he's getting back to his best, in my opinion. Yeah. But yeah, I think that wasn't hoofball at all.
Not
if
at
you
all.
Want to see hoofball, you can look back to earlier on this season or the back end of last season, but that certainly wasn't hoofball on Tuesday.
And Alan, I think I speak on behalf of the majority of Pompey fans out there when I say I'm glad we don't have a game this Saturday and Monday as well. That would be quite something and quite spectacular if we could pull off the same squad playing two games in 3 days.
Liverpool are doing it though, aren't they? They're
Liverpool doing are doing it, yeah. Two games in 2 days, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Carabao Cup and the Club World Cup. I don't think we're quite equipped to do that, Alan, but there is no game tomorrow. Instead, though, if you are looking for your football fix, Havant to Waterlooville are at home. Second versus third in the National League South. They are playing host to Slough Town at Wesley Park. Pompey season ticket holders can get in for a discounted price of £6. So I know where I'm going to get my local football fix on a Saturday. Why don't head over to Wesley Park to get yours as well? Okay, 81400 is the number to text if you want to get involved as well. Start your messages with the word Express. You can email pompey@expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at ExpressFM. Let's talk about Tuesday's game in a little bit more detail than Ryan. Ross McCrory, he came off injured in the first half, believing it's a hamstring tear, and he's going to be out for up to 6 to 8 weeks, which is not good.
No, it's a shame, isn't it? He was just getting into some good form in that right back position, and you did think, you know, have we found our right back for the season? And you know, an injury comes and wipes him out, so to speak. But you know, Brandon Houndstrup comes in and does a good job at right back and creates two of our goals. So you know, maybe not all is as bad as we first thought.
Can you see a future for Brandon Houndstrup at right back, Sam? Because he played pretty well there on Tuesday.
Yeah, I can definitely see a future for him at right back. I think that cross for Marquis was excellent. It was a great finish from Marquis, but that ball was brilliant from Brandon Houndstrup. I think we are, as Pompey fans, we're very spoilt for choice in the left back role.
Yeah.
So Lee Brown and Brandon Houndstrup are getting to most League One teams. So why not utilise one of them at right back? And if it's just going to make Brandon more useful in the long run, because he is the long term solution to Lee Brown at Pompey, and if he adds another string to his bow by moving over to the right hand side and getting a bit more exposure over there, then he's going to be a key part of Kenny Jackett's squad for this foreseeable future. He's still young, so I don't see why not.
Brandon Houndstrup was brought on to the pitch, and just moments later he set up John Marquis to get Pompey's first goal of the game.
Houndstrup, corner of the box, delivers a lovely ball, Marquis scores! Breakthrough for Portsmouth.
Ryan, it was a fantastic delivery from the right-hand side from Houndstrup, and an equally as good finish as well from John Marquis, and an impressive bit of play for Pompey there to go ahead.
No, it was. We never really had that throughout the first half, and I mean, you know, maybe it was meant to be that Houndstrup was meant to come on. So, yeah, the ball into the box was lovely, and, you know, with Marquis in that number 10 role, he was able to hold his run. You know, he made a late run into the box, and luckily for him, it found him.
That's what a lot of Pompey fans like about Brandon Houndstrup, Sam, is he's got a great delivery on him. His kind of pace going down the wing is excellent. He can link up with the wingers and support the attacking runs as well. That's what he can add to Pompey's squad in the next, you know, maybe 6 to 8 weeks, if Ross McCrory does take a little bit longer to come back from his injury. Like Ryan's mentioned a few minutes ago, not all is lost. We're going to miss McCrory because he has been playing well, but Brandon Houndstrup offers a different level.
Yeah, 100%. I think Ryan hit the nail on the head. I agree completely with what he's saying. McCrory was playing very well at right back, and he was sort of just getting a run of games together and starting to look the player which we thought he was going to be when he came down from Rangers. But yeah, not you've got to look at the bright side, especially this season with some of the performances we've had at Pompey. And Brandon Houndstrup, when he did come in for Lee Brown when he had that injury, was really, really good. And he was unlucky to miss out again when Lee Brown got to full fitness. So having him back in the team is only going to be a positive.
Okay, Pompey went 1-0 up, and that was how it remained at the break as well. And then just 5 minutes into the second half, Ellis Harrison scored one of the stranger goals that you'll see this season.
Portsmouth have doubled their lead.
First things first, Ryan, he was offside. I think we could all see that.
I think it definitely looked like he was. I mean, I'm not complaining, and I don't think anyone else is in Fratton Park, unless you're a Southend fan. But, you know, he took his chance really, really well.
it was a bit of a ping pong kind of situation in the box, wasn't it, Sam? The ball just seemed to be up in the air and everywhere, coming off of players' feet and legs at left, right and centre. But Ellis Harrison, offside or not, he was in the right position to score that goal. Really great striker's instinct to be in that position.
Absolutely. I think I've been a big advocate to start Ellis Harrison this season, not over Marquis, but with Marquis, because I think every time I've seen him play, he's been excellent. He was excellent at Bristol Rovers, was very unlucky when he was at Ipswich, and now we're starting to see the best of him. I think every time he's played, he's scored a few goals. You look at the Birmingham game when we were on telly at the beginning of the season. Even when he's been playing in the Leasing Trophy, he's looked brilliant. And then a few goals off the bench as well in pivotal moments. I think he is someone who's going to play a big role this season, whether that be off the bench or whether that be starting. But he looks like the striker we've been crying out for to play up front with John Marquis. I think there's nothing which he can't do. And if you are going to drop Marquis back, Ellis Harrison is the perfect striker. He's quick, he's good in the air, he's strong. He's a nightmare for defences, and that showed on Tuesday night. He knows where the back of the net is, and that's what we need.
You mentioned there the Birmingham Cup game back in August, Sam, and a lot of people suggesting on Twitter, on Facebook and all across social media, really, that Tuesday night's game was perhaps one of the kind of most entertaining games of the season. And, you know, let's be honest, we haven't really seen many of you know, the entertaining games of this campaign so far. But would you go as far as saying that was the first kind of real good performance since that Birmingham game?
Well, I was at the Bristol Rovers game a few weeks ago, and I thought for 78 minutes we were excellent. I think, like I said about Ronan Curtis earlier on, he was excellent in that game.
Yeah.
But we just lost concentration. I think we maintained concentration for the full 90 minutes, apart from obviously a little mistake from Alex Bass, which we're not going to talk too much about right now. No. But yeah, I think definitely. We are starting to play more dynamic and interesting football. And it's not, like, I know I've seen a lot of people on Twitter saying that they don't like going to Fratton Park because of the style of football. But I think the last three games, it's been, the intensity's been raised and the performance has been raised. And just generally, the games have been of a higher standard and a lot better to watch.
Yeah, and a massive positive that we took from a game on Tuesday, Ryan, was the fact that when Southend got their goal back, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes' time, Kenny Jackett made a sub. And that's what we've all been crying out for. You know, he made an attacking sub to kind of break down their momentum and to really kill the game off as well. And we did that to perfection. And that's all really Pompey fans have been crying out for. And that's a huge positive you got to take from Tuesday, because it sounds really kind of condescending, really, to say Kenny Jackett's learning, that's what we wanted. But in a way it is, because in recent weeks we've conceded late goals because, you know, people have been pinpointing that on the lack of substitutions or they've been made too late. Tuesday night seemed to prove that maybe Pompey fans were right about that.
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, it was good from Jackett to react the way he did.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of weeks ago, if that happened, you may have seen Paul Downing coming on for the last quarter of an hour. And not many Pompey fans would have wanted to see that.
No.
So to see Marcus Harness already warming up, you know, as soon as that goal went in and introduced 5 minutes later, you know, that's exactly what we want to see.
We didn't just sit back, Sam, and see the game out for a 2-1 win. Kenny Jackett actually wanted to go out, win the game convincingly, and win the game convincingly we did.
No, that's it. I think everyone's been asking for positive substitutions, not bringing on centre-halves when we're looking to see games out, actually stretching the game a bit more and then looking for that, going for the jugular and trying to win the game. I think Ryan hit the nail on the head. We have been crying out for substitutions. We didn't want to see Paul Downing come on when we went 2-1 down. We wanted to see Marcus Harness come on, and we scored 2 extra goals, and that's all we can really ask for as fans.
Back to the text, tweets and emails then. On the email, Stephen Jerome says, "Hi guys, I thought it was a much better performance from us on Tuesday against Southend. The first half was okay, and it was good to get the first goal on the stroke of half time. That was a crucial time to score, because it changes the half time team talk a bit. I think we were much better in the second half, but I did get a bit nervous when they scored, considering we have struggled to hold on to leads lately. But then we scored another 2 goals, which was great. I don't know what was going on over the penalty, though, because it seemed to me like no one knew who was going to take it. But fair play to Ellis Harrison for taking it on, and he converted the penalty well. But isn't the penalty taker supposed to be decided before the game so that everyone knows who's going to take it? Or am I wrong, Stephen Fratton?" Ryan, we just heard from Joe Gallen about 20 minutes ago and his thoughts from the game as well. And he mentioned within that interview, and he admitted that they hadn't actually set a dedicated penalty taker for Tuesday's game. And really, that kind of comes down to the fact that there was no Brett Pittman, no Gareth Evans on the pitch. Even so,
yeah,
you've got to be a little bit worried that you're not picking penalty takers, because that seems to be a bit basic.
No, for me, that's criminal. I mean, you had three or four players fighting over the ball when it was given. I mean, Curtis picked it up first, then
both
Marcus
Curtis
had a go.
And Marcus both looked annoyed.
Yes, they did. And you know, I think Harrison said that Naylor gave him the go-ahead to take the penalty. And I'm glad Naylor did that. He stepped up and he said what was going on. Yeah.
And Ellis Harrison, a player with confidence, really, Sam. You know, John Marquis has confidence as well. He's got a couple of goals lately. But I think Ellis Harrison, considering kind of his strike rate for Pompey this season, I think he was the right man to take it.
Yeah, definitely. I must admit, I was a little bit surprised that Marquis didn't take it, because obviously he took that one at QPR in the Carabao Cup. But again, I probably would have given it to Ellis Harrison. Yeah. It was down to me. And you've got to admire Tom Naylor for giving him it. That's what leaders do. And that's why he's got the armband at the end of the day. And I think, yeah, it... Well, obviously paid off because Ellis scored, but in future, I think, yeah, is
you've got to set one.
Yeah, you've got to set one, absolutely. I think I cut him a little bit of slack, because you know, if Gareth Evans was on the pitch at the time, he'd be taking it, and likewise, if Brett Pittman was on the pitch at the time, he'd be taking it. So then it's almost like, who's your third choice penalty taker? Yeah. But then you've still, if you're not going to start either of those two, whether that be through injury or just not picking them, then you have got to designate someone. It's basics of football, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, 21 minutes of the game remaining, and Brandon Goodship of Southend put the visitors within touching distance of maybe pulling something back from the game.
Goodship, and it's fumbled by Bass into the back of the net. It's Pompey 2, Southend 1.
We're not going to talk too much about it, Ryan, but we are going to mention it, because it was a big moment in the game. Pompey 2-0 up, they let a goal in. It was a huge kind of mistake from Alex Bast. I think he was standing there and hold his hands up high. But he actually had a really good game leading up to that point. He made some important saves in the first half in particular to keep it at 0-0. And I think he actually deserves a bit of praise from that game, not to highlight that kind of error, but actually really to bring up all the positives he took from the game, because he was influential in keeping it at 0-0 and keeping it at 2-1, 3-1, 4-1.
No, exactly. I mean, he's only young. He's going to learn. I mean, every keeper has a mistake in them.
Yeah,
so you can't really hold him to blame, you know. But Pompey never do it the easy way.
No.
So at 2-0, when we concede that goal, everyone's thinking if we concede the next one, you know what's going to happen. But like I said before, we reacted well, but... I don't think you can blame Bass, no.
No, not at all. Every single goalkeeper has that at least once in their career.
Yeah.
You're going to have it, and you know, if you're going to get it over and done with earlier on in your career, then great. And you know, that's still three league starts for Alex Bass and only one goal conceded. So a great stat for a great young goalkeeper up and coming as well. 10 minutes of the game remaining then. Pompey 2-0 up, looking a little bit nervy, They were then rewarded a penalty, which we discussed a moment ago, and Ellis Harrison was the man who stepped up to take it.
Ellis Harrison for Portsmouth, and he scores! And it's Portsmouth 3, Southend 1.
Great penalty, Sam. Straight, well, wasn't really down the middle. It was kind of to the keeper's right-hand side a little bit. He nearly got a touch on it, but
yeah.
I think the thunderous effort and the power he had behind it forced it into the back of the net.
Yeah, absolutely. Doesn't matter how they're going at the end of the day. As long as the ball hits the back of the net, you're not going to be too bothered, I think. Yeah, I couldn't really see it, to be honest with you. I was sat in the south end, and south stand, sorry, not south end. And then,
that's a long way to watch the game.
Yeah. And then I just saw it go into the bottom left-hand corner, and I was like, great, what a penalty that is. It's only on the replays I look back at it, and I was like, hey, it was a bit closer than I thought it was, but... At the end of the day, goal's a goal. We can't complain too much.
No, not so. And then on the 84th minute, Pompey really sealed the win with a fourth goal of the evening. It was that man, Marcus Harness.
Harness, shot, into the back of the net. It's four for Pompey.
25 passes leading up to that goal, as we've already mentioned, Ryan. Some great, not really counter-attacking, because there was moments we passed it back to the defence as well, but your patient build-up as well, which we like to see.
No, exactly. It's better than a long ball up, isn't it? But, you know, keeping the ball is what Pompey fans want to see. And even if it is slow build-up, people have to be patient. And, you know, players will gain confidence in having the ball at their feet. And, you know, you saw Marquis dropping deep, and you saw Naylor and Close getting on the ball, pushing it sideways. And then eventually it found its way out to Houndstrup, who took his man on really well, and then guided it through to Harness to rocket it in. So, yeah, it was a good goal.
Okay, we have just over 15 minutes left of tonight's show, so this could be your very last chance to get involved. Would you like to see Brad and Halstrup give them a chance to continue at right back, at least until Ross McCrory returns from injury? Could John Marquis and Ellis Harrison be Pompey's answer to the lack of goals being converted at the start of the campaign? And how confident are you that the Blues are beginning to look better with the standard of football being displayed recently? Perhaps you think Tuesday's result actually was just papering over the cracks. Whatever your opinion, let us know. Start your text with the word Express, followed by your name and message, and send those to 81400. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com or send us a tweet at expressfm. Get them into us within the next 15 minutes or so then, and join us again in just a few moments as we reach the conclusion of this evening's Football Hour right here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back for the final time tonight to this Friday Football Hour on Express FM, sponsored by Stagecoach Buses. Find out more information over at stagecoach.co.uk or download the app on either the Apple app or Google Play Store. And please, 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 please do not turn up to Fratton Park tonight because we are not playing Southend United at home. I don't know why the advert's still in there. We're going to try and get that out. So just a reminder, we're not at home tonight to Southend United. Okay, we are close to the end of tonight's show, so you do not have long at all to get your thoughts, questions and predictions into the panel before we leave you at 7. It's 81400 on the text, starting your messages with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com or even find us on Twitter at expressfm. Let's now take a look at Pompey's opposition on Monday evening. Robbie James has all you need to know about Harrogate Town.
Coming off the back of a convincing 4-1 victory over Southend United in League One, it's time for league action to take a rest as the FA Cup first round proper makes its return for this weekend's round of fixtures. The opponents for Kenny Jackett's side this week, Harrogate Town.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The TV gods weren't looking down on Pompey when they made their selections for the first round of the competition. Blues fans will be making the 12-hour round trip to North Yorkshire to take on the National League side at the CNG Stadium.
Manager.
41-year-old Simon Weaver is the town boss. Weaver, who played as a defender for the likes of Sheffield Wednesday, Lincoln City and Scarborough, retired as a player in 2012. However, he took up the managerial position at Wetherby Road in 2009, so has therefore been in charge for over a decade, taking up a player-manager role for the first 3 years of his stint as boss.
One to watch.
Scottish forward Mark Beck is the one to keep an eye out during this tie. The 25-year-old who came through the ranks at Carlisle United wears the number 9 for Harrogate and scored twice as they beat fellow National League outfit Halifax Town in the final round of qualifying to reach this stage.
Top scorer.
Winger Brendan Kieran, whose birthday falls the day before this meeting, is the side's leading goal scorer in the National League. Kieran has 6 goals to his name this season and was a Hampton and Richmond player between 2016 and 2018, where he played alongside former Pompey favourite Jamal Lowe.
Current form.
To get to this stage of the competition, Harrogate had to overcome Halifax away from home in the final round of qualifying. The score last month was 2-1 to Harrogate thanks to a Mark Beck double. They sit 7th in the National League table, having picked up 32 points from their opening 20 games. And prior to their previous result, which was a 4-2 loss to Eastleigh, Simon Weaver's side had gone 10 games unbeaten in all competitions, following 7 wins and 3 draws. Blues made it all the way to the 4th round replay last season, so can they produce another exciting cup run this time? Find out and stay tuned to Pompey Live.
A big thanks to Robbie there, who previews what the Blues will be going up against in the next fixture at the CNG Stadium on Monday. I want to highlight Pompey's record on 3G pitches, as far as we know, gents, because it's no wins in 9 games, stretching back as far as November 1986. 0-0 draw at Oldham, 2-1 loss at QPR, 3-1 and 4-1 losses at Luton, 5-3 loss at Oldham, or a 3-0 draw at Oldham, and another 3-1 loss at Oldham, 5-0 loss against QPR, and a 2-1 loss against Sutton a few seasons back in a pre-season friendly. So, taking in both stats, I'm not really too confident looking into Monday.
No, not at all. It's just typical Pompey, isn't it? It just screams banana skin Harrogate. Monday night on TV, long way to go. Yeah. 3G pitch. I don't know. I think we even our second side should have way too much quality to lose to Harrogate. I think I don't know. I don't know much about them. All I know is they got John Stead up front, and that's about it, to be honest. Yeah. I think just don't lose is all I'll say. I think even if we get a replay back at Fratton Park, I still fancy us to go through, because it's just all we need at the moment, yeah. Isn't it? Just derail our season again with a loss to Harrogate in the FA Cup.
Prior to last week's 4-2 defeat at Eastleigh, Ryan, Harrogate had gone 10 unbeaten in all competitions, 7 wins and 3 draws. They're on a rich run of form despite a recent slip-up, and they've done very well in the National League, actually, since they were promoted in 2018, finished 6th last season. They're now 7th, I believe, now in the National League. So as much as Sam said, yeah, we should be beaten on paper, and kind of you kind of want to come away from it not being defeated, but we should really come away with a win. But they could provide a difficult opposition for Pompey.
No doubt. I mean, you don't want to underestimate them by a long stretch. You know, they're going to be a tough side to crack, and we're going to have to up the ante, yeah, if we are to come away with a win. I think even though we haven't won on 3G, I think it's law of averages that we do get a win, and after that 4-1 win against Southend, I don't see anything other than that.
Carol in Hayling Island says, what is it about artificial surfaces but Pompey are unable to be successful on? John and Hilsey says, hi guys, recent form has been good, 15 points for the last 8 games. It could have been 20 points if it hadn't been for late goals, which were undeserved for opponents, says John and Hilsey. A great point from John and Hilsey. And Dave from Cal Plain on the email says, first half against Southend was a game between two very poor teams until the goal. Fortunately, the second half was a game between one very poor side and a decent side. We now need consistently good performances from now until the end of the season. Thank you all for getting involved this evening. Pompey are ball number 4 in Monday's FA Cup draw, which will be held live from Chichester City from 7 p.m. on BBC2, Sam, which means we'll find out our possible opponents for the second round before we even kick a ball.
Yeah, I think...
strange.
Yeah, it is. It's not really an incentive at this stage, is it? Because no. I think we are the tie that most clubs lower than us want, sort of thing. I think us and Sunderland are sort of like the glamour ties, if you will. Never thought I'd be saying that about
glamour tie against Sunderland.
Yeah. Until the third round proper, that's when the sort of like the incentives of good performances to come in. But yeah, I don't fear anyone in this competition until round 3, to be honest with you. There's no one we shouldn't beat, especially with our squad. I do agree with Ryan. I do think we'll win, aside from the joking around about typical Pompey losing to a lower league team. But I think, we should have the tools to get the job done, and we should get through to round 3 without too many problems.
Yeah. On Twitter, a vote coming in. 66% of you think Pompey will win the game. 9% are going for a draw, send it to a replay. And 25% are going for a Harrogate Town win. And there's a long way to go on a Monday night, Ryan. So fair play to the 600-odd going up there, myself included, for the game. It sold out that away end at Harrogate, and a bit of a dodgy decision to make that game on a Monday night in the first place, really, wasn't it?
Oh, wow. What can I say? It's a long way to go, like you say. And on a Monday night, I just can't believe it is on a Monday night, to be honest. It's crazy. Yeah. It is absolutely crazy.
Okay, before we head off this evening, let's take a look at where the Pompey women are playing this weekend. Here is Ian Chiverton with a look ahead to the next fixture for Jay Sadler's side.
Hi everyone, my name's Ian Chiverton and welcome to the Pompey Women Preview. Pompey's disrupted start to the season continued last week with yet another of their games called off. They've now only played once in the last 4 weekends. However, with a run of games now till Christmas, they're going to be looking to carry on their good form. This weekend they take on Crawley Ross away on Sunday. Crawley are new to the league, having been promoted last season. They currently sit second, having won 7 of their first 9 games. A very impressive return. Pompey are currently in 8th, but have 4 games in hand over other sides. They've played the fewest games in the league. Pompey are actually in pretty good form. They've won their last 3 games and scored 17 goals. They're going to be looking to continue that on Sunday, 2 p.m. kickoff at East Court against Crawley. Adult tickets are £5, OAPs and under 18s are £2, and under 12s getting for free. Crawley also do a family ticket for £10. If you're free and can come along, the girls would really appreciate your support as we look to continue our good run of form and push our way up the league with our games in hand. As always, you can see all the match highlights on our vlogs on our YouTube channel, Pompey Women Vlogs.
Chiv there with his weekly preview of what the Pompey women are up to in their next game of their way to the Crawley Wasps. Okay, let's get some of your score predictions. There's quite a few coming in this evening. Marcus Deakins on Facebook's going for 5-1 Pompey against Harrogate. Bill Doe's going for 4-1. Martin Kerr's going for a 6-all draw. That's very okay.
Wow.
Who knows? Maybe I wouldn't be too displeased with that. That'd be quite entertaining. Ant Cripps is going for 3-0 Pompey. Gary Price says 6-0 Pompey. Philip Morrison 6-1 Pompey. Carl Hodgkins 4-0 Pompey. Mark Allgood is going 9-0. Eat that, Saints. Ivor Mulholland is going for 4-0 Pompey. Pete Edney says live on TV Monday night, miles from home, plastic pitch. I don't like it, but 2-1 win. John Mumford is going for a 3-0 Pompey win. Pompey Calum is going for 3-1. Steve Slight says 4-1 Pompey. And Dave Bingham says 1-1. We need another Tuesday night game at home. LOL. No, we don't need another Tuesday night game at home. We don't need another Fratton Park fixture during the midweek. Okay, we are fast approaching the end of this evening's show, which means I'm going to get a quick score prediction from both Sam and Ryan. We'll start off this evening with Sam. What are you going for? First round of the FA Cup, like you say, miles away from home, 3G pitch, not a league side. Banana skin game.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-1 Pompey. I think we just have too much quality for them. I think we'll play quite a strong side. So, yeah, I think, yeah, a couple of goals for Ellis Harrison again wouldn't shock me either. So, yeah, 3-1 Pompey for me.
That's what Sam thinks. What are you going for, Ryan?
Well, I'm gonna say we're going to replicate Southend. I reckon another 4-0, 4-1 victory, yeah.
3-1. 4-1. I'm going to go for a 4-0 Pompey win. I was bang on my Oxford prediction, one goal off on Tuesday night, so fingers crossed I'm correct or close enough with this one as well. Okay guys, thank you so much for coming into the studio, for joining me on tonight's show. Thank you to everyone back home for getting involved on the text, tweets and emails as well, and for genuinely just listening in too. Thank you to our sponsors Stagecoach Across the South for supporting another season of the Football Hour on Express FM. Thank you to Robbie James for producing this evening's show, and to Ian Chiverton for his weekly women's preview. Okay, coming up on Express for you this evening, Non-Stop Express is here from 7 right after news with just great songs for an hour until 8 p.m. where Music for the Soul with Gloria Miller returns from 8 through till 10. She has 2 hours of soul music to kickstart your Friday evening. And then at 10 p.m. it's everyone's favourite Hip Shaker with a groovy blend of 60s soul, R&B and beat until midnight. Saturday morning then, Ian McGuinness is here with the Portsmouth Breakfast Show. He has musical features, local events, sport and travel to start your Saturday. Paul Allen is here from 10 till 2 for Non-Stop Express and Hip Shaker between 2 and 9 o'clock, where we have the Express Party with Just Great Songs remixed. Okay, on Monday evening, because there is no game for Pompey tomorrow, Pompey Live will be returning live from Harrogate Town from 7 p.m. Join Liam Howes and Tom Atkins for all of the pre-match, half-time and full-time reaction. So join them from Monday. There's no Football Hour. I'll see you next Friday for a special edition of the Women's Football Hour.